Mediocrity Podcast. Talk about that nerdy stuff. Movies, comics, and video games. It's all good and there ain't no fluff. Brian Kluger is hosting the show. Jeremy Miggert's got jokes. Jonathan Atterbury sounds really handsome, and we all sure love you folks.
And we're back. We are barely legal here. We're episode 21 of your favorite mediocre podcast, Mediocrity, where the show is just okay. I'm Brian Kluger, and you can find this amazing podcast on iTunes and Stitcher Radio and BoomstickComics.com, the Multimedia Men brand. We have a new president. We have new movies coming out. Dogs and cats living together. Holy God.
Mass hysteria.
I'm joined by the amazing Jeremy Miggert across the table from me. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm good, sir. How about you?
I am doing well. It was my birthday yesterday. I ate too much. I'm 35 years old, so I'm one year closer to you, sir.
Yes.
For a little bit.
But I will always be in the lead, so.
You will always be in the lead of that. What's the latest on the comic book front?
I'm just working on Primal Instinct and then going to be finishing the last page of my little mini comic, Abandon, most likely today or tomorrow.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And that will be up online. Where can we find you?
It is on the Facebooks right now at Jeremy Miggert Art. You can read the first 6 pages and the last page will be up today or tomorrow.
The Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Drop Facebook's
the Facebooks.
Just drop the in Facebooks. I don't know. I'm social networking. Also here in the middle of this manly hairy sandwich is Jonathan Atterbury of newamericanfitness.net.com.biz.xxx. What's up, man?
.org.
Yes. .edu.
I'm doing great. How are you, man?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm doing all right. You got your buff dude shirt on? You want to give some buff dude some love?
Always.
They're a company, right?
They're an online training. They do workout plans. They do fitness stuff, meal design, all that kind of fun stuff. Basically, a lot of YouTube videos is their big thing, really.
I'm sorry, that was a thing.
It's all right. But yeah, so they are awesome YouTube video fitness guys and pretty fun.
Well, very, very cool.
Yeah.
And you're doing all, we all did a group outing recently. We all ate barbecue. You did an all-you-can-eat barbecue where you ate like 50 pounds of meat.
Cheat meal.
In your mouth.
Yeah.
Was it good?
Oh, yeah. That was absolutely
What was the place?
That was Hutchins Barbecue.
Hutchins Barbecue. Maybe they'll sponsor us. Maybe we can do a show there, as much barbecue as we can eat or something.
That sounds awful.
We will eat and talk, and it will be a terrible show.
It will be so good. We'll talk about barbecue movies.
Yeah, usually when I eat there, I get so full where the talking's not even an option at any point. Because if I open my mouth, food will come out.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that was a lot of good food. Before we started the podcast, y'all talked about a trailer that just came out. What was the trailer? You saw the trailer for
Valerian.
Valerian. What is this? What is this again?
So a new sci-fi movie by the person that did Lucy and the Fifth Element.
He is a French director, and I'm trying to remember his name.
Luc Besson.
There you go. Luc Besson.
So, and you said Lucy was a turd.
Oh, I think it made my worst movie of the year list. It was the number one worst movie of the year.
Yeah.
What did you think of it?
It was okay.
Just okay? But we can all agree The Fifth Element was amazing.
I agree.
I watch pretty much. I'll give just about anything that's like a sci-fi movie a shot. Yeah, so.
Right on.
I do too, but Lucy sucked.
You're entitled
to
your opinion.
She was literally moving like Matrix code in real life.
I completely missed that one. It just didn't look that interesting.
It was better than Jupiter Ascending.
I like Jupiter Ascending.
Oh, see, yeah. We're gonna disagree now. Jupiter Ascending was horrible.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
That's the Wachowskis. They're
so, at their worst. The
I agree. Like a lot of it was really silly, but the action scenes, the special effects,
it all looked like. Shit.
No, it didn't.
We want to rollerblade in the sky.
Yeah.
No.
They did Cloud Atlas right before that, and Cloud Atlas was amazing.
I loved Cloud Atlas. You either hated or loved that movie.
But, yeah, Jupiter Ascending. I mean, you take Mia Jovovich and Channing Tatum, two of the absolute least interesting actors on the planet.
So you're very wrong there. I can't believe everybody likes Channing Tatum but you.
I don't think that's true.
You don't like Bill Murray either.
Well.
Well, I don't have anything to say.
We've been over that.
Yeah, let's not open that wound again. I like Channing. I like Mia Jovovich too. I like her.
It's not Mia Jovovich, is it?
No, it's Mila Kunis.
Mila Kunis. I said Mila Jovovich the first time.
It's How do you not like Mila Kunis?
I mean, she's beautiful, but she's just not a good actress.
What? You didn't like her in Black Swan?
I mean,
Forgetting Sarah Marshall?
She was okay.
Wow. My head is just exploding right now.
Okay, so I love that 70s show, and she was funny enough in that. But she's funny in like a side character sitcom kind of way.
Sitcoms don't really require great acting skills.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree, but she's done more things than just
the sitcom. That he's more surprised that he agrees than anything else. I agree?
Damn.
I mean, I'm not saying that Jupiter Ascending is the best sci-fi movie ever. I think I enjoy it. It's not something that I will actively seek out to watch. But if it's on at some point, I'm like, oh, yeah, we'll
watch that. Here's how I felt about that movie. Normally, with big-budget sci-fi, I feel a responsibility to go to the movie theater and see it and pay for it because I want there to be more big-budget sci-fi movies in the world. I did not make it to the theater to see that movie, watched it later, and was like, holy shit, I'm so glad I did not pay to watch that movie in the theater.
I actually rented the movie.
Because I would have been pissed.
And I still was pissed that I paid $5 to see it. However, I will say that Eddie Redmayne was pretty cool in that movie.
Okay, yeah. Well, Eddie Redmayne is a good actor, too. Yeah,
he was the one good actor in that movie.
I disagree. Channing Tatum is amazing.
He's a classic. He's just like Channing Tatum's right there with Laurence Olivier. Just so much acting talent.
I agree. I will agree with that.
He's a fucking travesty. It's just...
Did you not see the wrestling movie Channing Tatum was in? The true story about the guy who killed his brother. Eagle Point, I don't know.
Oh, no, I did not see that one.
He was so
good
in that.
Olympic wrestling team movie?
Yes.
With Steve...
And Mark Ruffalo. And
yeah, I did not watch that one.
Really?
So I can't talk about that one. I've just seen... Everything else I've seen him in, everything I've ever seen him in has been really bad.
Even Hateful Eight? With Tarantino's Hateful
Eight? Oh, yeah, no, Hateful Eight was my least favorite Quentin Tarantino movie.
Oh, my God.
I could not wait for that movie to be over. I'm going to say it. I really hated Hateful Eight. I saw it the first day it was out, and I was all excited about it because I love Tarantino, but that movie blew.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
It was beautiful looking. There's some great shots in it, but as far as entertainment goes, it was just a stinker.
We have gone off the rails. We were talking about Valerian.
And we have so many topics today.
We do. Let's get back to Valerian.
Valerian looks amazing. It's a sci-fi movie. I don't know the guy's name that's the male lead in it, but Cara Delevingne, is that the girl's name?
Okay.
She was the Enchantress in Suicide Squad.
Oh, well, yeah, that was terrible.
So she's in that as the female protagonist, and then we've got aliens, basically.
Cool.
And it looks awesome. They were using the Beatles song Because for the trailer. And
the actual Beatles one?
The actual Beatles one. I think there was some embellishment with the music going on there, but the actual Beatles vocals.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. You haven't caught it yet. I need to check the trailer out.
It looks good.
It looks good. All right. Well, let's move on to another sci-fi comic book movie. Supposedly you both saw Doctor Strange.
Supposedly.
Depends on what you... It depends on how you feel about it. I really love Doctor Strange, Benedict Cumberbatch, the new Marvel Cinematic Universe film. A lot of people think he's going to bring the gap closer together with X-Men from Fox. He might show up with the Avengers. I don't know. I really like the movie. I thought it was a slow burn as far as the first part of the movie to get you really infatuated with these characters. You know, I really like their origin story in this one. And then the visual effects, the action scenes were so cool in this. Something I've never seen before. What do you guys think about Doctor Strange?
I thought Doctor Strange was fantastic.
Okay, good.
Yep. Jeremy, before I elaborate it. More.
Yeah, it was really good. I'm curious, where does your thing where they're going to bridge the gap with the X-Men and Fox? What's that?
I thought that Doctor Strange would be able to bring the X-Men to the Marvel Universe in some sort of way.
Do his magic to import them from the movies into the
Marvel. Doctor Strange is going to give Fox a whole bunch of money to let the X-Men over?
I think they're going to come together but form a story of Doctor Strange and X-Men to see if they can, kind of like the Spider-Man thing.
You hope that happens.
Yeah, well, there's been theories online that he's going to be the one to do it. So I don't know. That would be really cool to see that happen.
That would be cool.
So, what did you like about the movie?
Jeremy?
When I was kind of going into it, I was like, man, I'm, you know, having read a million comics, I'm getting a little tired of, like, the origin story movies. I'm getting to where I prefer, like, even with Wonder Woman, like, I've read the origin 50 million times. You know, I'm more looking forward to, like, Doctor Strange 2 than I was, you know, like, the first one. But I ended up really digging it. I liked that they didn't change his personality. Like, Doctor Strange was, you know, kind of an arrogant doucher before he got his powers, and even afterwards, he's not a people guy. He's not like Tony Stark and Iron Man, where even when he's being a dick, he still is, like, really likable and really charming. He typically, you know, Strange is just always going to be that guy, you know, not really meant to be likable. You really, at most, are going to like him just because Benedict Cumberbatch does such a great job, but he's, even in the comics, when he's full-on Doctor Strange, he just is not he's not a people guy.
So you like seeing that side of him here?
I like that they were consistent with the character.
Yeah, no, I like that too. And why he got to, or why he chose to go down the righteous path instead of, you know, going doing what was it? Was it Benjamin Bratt? Was that him? Who was the guy who?
That's him. Benjamin Bratt. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. What he just decided to, you know, come back home and play basketball.
Right.
I really. What about you, John?
I gotta say, I think that was the most visually amazing movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, the fight scene when they're fighting, but, like, everything is going in reverse, that was so cool.
Yeah, well,
did y'all see it in IMAX 3D?
Yes, yep. I did. As for your recommendation,
okay,
and it was so good. So the 3D was amazing, so even you take the fight scenes, which were so creative and so interesting and so different. It was a lot like the first time I think we all saw The Matrix, when you're just watching fight scenes that you've never seen before, and it's so exciting. But outside of that, just the special effects perspective, best special effects I've probably ever seen. Just amazing.
So do you think it could be Doctor Strange could be an Oscar winning movie?
Unless they're extremely prejudiced against it, because they are with the comic book movies. But I mean, it fucking deserves to be considered.
No, I absolutely.
It was
agree.
Amazing looking.
Yeah. So how much did you love Wong in the movie? Mm-hmm.
He was hilarious.
He was so good. He was one of my favorite characters. That
I don't know if I would say that he stole. You said that he stole all the scenes he was in. I don't know if I would necessarily agree with that.
I thought he did. Like, I really did. I thought every scene he was in, I just focused on him mostly because of his monotone, like, esque demeanor, and like he was really funny too.
He was really funny.
He was
good.
So good.
I also like Rachel McAdams. I think her character was fine in the movie. The love story between the two of them didn't bother me.
Oh, see, that bothered me. I thought that just was the worst part of the movie. It's like, oh, that felt forced.
To me, you could have taken it out of the movie completely, and it wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah, it was irrelevant, but it was fine. It didn't bother me either.
I loved Wong though, because I love Wong in Marco Polo when he plays. We plays Kublai Khan.
Yeah.
So good in that. And I loved him in this, too. And I also like that the humor in this movie was different. Like, it was a little bit more dry, you know, just like with his approach. And, you know, the scenes where anytime he was trying to, you know, he was basically making bad jokes to Wong.
Right.
Yeah.
And instead of, like, the obligatory laugh, like, Wong just stone faces him and just shits all over his jokes.
Which was great.
It was so awesome.
I mean, I thought Mads Mikkelsen, who played the villain in the movie, was... all right. I mean, I like Mads Mikkelsen a lot.
He wasn't as menacing as he can be.
Correct. Because there was an overarching other menace to the thing. He was just the kind of like the key master, the gatekeeper, basically. Thing.
My thing with the only that was disappointing is, I feel like they used Mads Mikkelsen. Like, they got a great actor to basically play the disposable villain in the first movie.
Yeah, that sucks because
that's what I'm kind of like. You're really never going to see him again. I mean, it's like in the Doctor Strange, like, kind of mythos, like, I'd never heard of his character. So I think it's a character that, if it was in the comics, is super minor, not like what Mordo is. You know, and it's like you got this amazing actor that everybody loves that played Hannibal and played all these awesome parts, and you gave him the disposable villain for one movie, and he's gone.
Just like Red Skull. They did with Hugo Weaving in Red Skull.
Well, he didn't come back. They wanted to bring him back, but he wasn't interested in making any more Red Skull movies. He's like, I don't give a fuck.
That's too bad, because that's why Marvel has the villain problem that they have, though. They keep on killing off the fucking cool ones, because they're like, let's give a really great character and really fantastic actor, and then he'll last half of one movie.
and they pick at like popular actors to play weird parts. Like even in Civil War, they got the Hobbit to play the random lawyer. And so you got Martin Freeman to play.
Oh yes.
Just or like why would you get to this random lawyer? Why would you get Martin Freeman for that? It's like
it could have been anybody.
It's like if you're gonna get these people, it's like give them something. You know, give them something cool.
Yeah, we do need a solid villain.
Did y'all like Tilda Swinton as the Ancient One?
I like Tilda Swinton in everything. Tilda Swinton is awesome.
All right. So did you like her in that?
Yeah.
She was really good.
Conan O'Brien's doppelganger.
That is great. Now, another gripe I had about, it was a real minor gripe, it's just when they were doing the magic, I thought the ice picks that they usually use, like the ice swords, what is what it looked like? Like when they created their weapons from magic, and they looked like crystal clear ice picks or something like that.
They were like kind of like smoky and translucent. Yes. Like they had no like definable shape.
I thought that was just kind
but of... But they're supposed to be sharp.
Yeah, I thought that was like laziness. And it's like, that's kind of... I felt the same way with the first Avengers movie, with all the aliens coming down, not like the big worm ones, but just the little ones, like they just kind of just look stupid.
Yeah,
but
I thought the shields were really cool, though. The wrist shields that they put up.
Oh yeah,
the ones in their hands, whatever it was that they were having, the circular ones. Those looked awesome.
Right.
And the whip.
The whip
looked badass.
The whip is cool. So, without giving anything away, did y'all like the two tags at the end in the credits?
Yeah.
One was fun. The other one kind of showed where it was going. Like, I think the first tag was the overall arc of the whole Marvel universe, and the second one was like, this is where this movie is going.
If anybody is listening to this, they've most likely already seen this movie, so we can probably talk about those if you
think
to.
So
we can just say spoilers.
Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, go fuck yourself. That's what we said with Game of Thrones.
Oh god. All right. So, okay.
And it's not super spoilery. It's not like we're not ruining the end of Doctor Strange.
Okay. So, okay. Spoiler alert.
We're going to talk about the end scenes, the secret credit scenes that are not so secret.
The end credit scene, which is after like the big graphic credits. What happened?
Thor pops up talking to Doctor Strange.
And Doctor Strange is refilling his beer mind magic.
And basically what they do is, they have their little scene together, and Doctor Strange basically says that he's going to be in the next Thor movie helping Thor find Odin.
Yes.
To get Thor and Ragnarok, Loki the fuck off of Earth. Yes.
Okay. So is that the story of Thor 3?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, Ragnarok is the story of Thor 3, but it's weird because at the end of the last Thor movie, Thor, leaves Asgard to go to Earth because he wants to be with Jane. And the last thing you see is he's talking to Odin, but then Odin transforms and reveals that it's actually Loki. So at the end of Thor 2, you don't actually even know where Odin is. And from what I understand, in the story of Thor Ragnarok in the actual comic, is that Odin is gone, and that Odin's presence like prevents this end of days scenario.
Okay.
And so, from what I understand, they're like Odin is missing, and so they're trying to find
Odin. Looking for Odin, basically.
Okay.
And that's where the Planet Hulk thing is going to take place, apparently.
That will be so cool.
Oh yeah. And so the second scene, Jeremy, you want to talk about the second scene?
We forgot to mention Chetawil Ejiofor. He's in Doctor Strange. He's one of the classmates,
one of his mentors.
Yes, of Doctor Strange. And he, this Ejiofor was in Serenity. You've seen him in a bunch of stuff. He's an excellent actor. But at the end of the movie,
he was in 12 Years a Slave, right?
Oh yeah, he was. Yeah, he was the main guy.
Fucking amazing in that movie.
Yes, he was really good. He is at the end of this movie, and I think that's where like the Doctor Strange 2 will probably go.
Basically reveals himself, but anyone who's a fan of... It's not really a spoiler, because anyone who's a fan of Marvel, as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, okay, the Baron Mordo over there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, basically reveals himself to be the next bad guy in the Doctor Strange movies, probably.
Which means you get to enjoy him being a villain again, as he was in Firefly.
Yep. And he was great.
He was really good in Firefly as a villain.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was fantastic. I loved it.
So, yeah, you would see it again?
Yeah, I would definitely see it again. I would say anyone who enjoys fun movies should go see it.
So, is it better than Iron Man 2?
I don't know if I would say better. I would say it's different, you know?
Oh, he still likes Iron Man 2.
I really liked Iron Man 2.
I really know you did. We can't believe it. When was the last time you saw Iron Man 2?
We all. It's just you.
just me at this table.
Me and Jeremy agree. Iron Man 2 is fucking fun.
Watch Iron Man 2 again. Dr. Strange.
I own Iron Man 2.
I do too, unfortunately. doesn't mean I watch it. Dr. Strange, yeah, it was definitely a damn good movie. I'm tired of these. I can't say I'm tired of the comic book movies, but it's very oversaturated right now. And like Jeremy said, origin stories, I'm like, okay, here we go again. I really wasn't looking forward to this movie, like, as much as I should have been. Like, Captain America Civil War was badass. I was looking forward to that. This was going to be amazing. And then Doctor Strange, like, maybe. Like,
that's what everyone said about Guardians of the Galaxy. That's what I was even concerned about Guardians of the Galaxy.
I wasn't. I was like, this, because I love James Gunn. I was like, James Gunn will not steer me wrong.
See, with me, I wasn't concerned about Guardians of the Galaxy being a good movie. The only thing, my question was, I was like, why the fuck are they making a Guardians of the Galaxy movie? It's exactly. Like, of all the things to make, you make a Guardians of the Galaxy movie. And I was like, okay, that was really good. And then, like, next we're going to make Ant-Man. And I was like, oh, man, why the fuck are you making an Ant-Man movie? And then Ant-Man came out, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just gonna shut the fuck up and go watch these movies.
Yeah, that's so how good. I feel now, too. Every time, it doesn't matter who it is, it's just fucking great.
Yeah, the Marvel, they do well. DC, Warner Brothers can take notes.
Yeah, no, they keep taking notes, and then they try to do it, and it's fucked up.
Well, and the thing is, though, the thing they miss, and I think, is when you watch the Marvel movies, right, and even when you watch Deadpool, is... They love the source material. Like, they love everything about it. When you watch a DC movie, the only thing they really think is important are the circumstances. The only thing they care about is, okay, Batman's parents died, and he's wearing the cape and cowl, and nothing else matters, right? With Superman and all that stuff, it's like, all that matters is, okay, he was from Krypton, he's wearing the suit, and the powers are right, and we don't care about anything else. Like, they're totally okay to have Batman, like... You know, burning people with his brand and, you know, murdering a ton of dudes. It's completely out of character. All they care about are just the circumstances. Okay, we have Harley with the Joker. That's all that really matters. Everything else is disposable.
Right.
We'll see. We'll see. Go see Doctor Strange. We want you to see Doctor Strange. It's making tons of money. If you have a chance to see it in 3D, I hate 3D, but... I have to recommend the 3D here.
It was awesome in 3D.
Yeah, it's the way to see it. But let's move on. Let's move on to Mass Effect. Y'all want to talk about Mass Effect? What is Mass Effect? When's the new game? What's going on?
Well, I mean, there was a trailer.
There was?
There was a trailer.
They don't have an official date. All they have is, like, I think, first quarter of next year.
What is
Mass Effect for our listeners?
Mass Effect is an action RPG video game with tons of choices that can be made that affect the outcome of your game, except for Mass Effect 3.
Anyone that's played an RPG of any kind, really,
yep.
Dragon Age, especially if you played Dragon Age or the first two Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic games, it's just like that, just in a unique sci-fi universe,
basically. Okay. And there's been three of them.
There have been three so far.
Mm-hmm. This is four?
And this is, well, not really. It's same universe, different characters. So it's not really, it's technically the fourth one, but it's not really because it's not continuation of the original.
It is sort of a reboot.
Kind of like,
yeah, like they're acknowledging everything that happened in the other one.
Okay.
But it's, you know, all new characters
different
doing
characters
something new.
Within the same world.
All right.
And it just looks amazing so far.
So yeah, is it on every console?
I don't know about that. I haven't checked
Xbox,
into that yet.
PS4? That doesn't
definitely
seem like
on Xbox.
Okay.
I would assume PS4 as well, because they've always been...
Most likely.
And y'all are big Mass Effect fans?
Oh, yeah. There are a few things more emotionally engrossing than a BioWare video game.
Yep.
Really?
And BioWare made Mass Effect, all three of them, and this coming fourth one.
So what makes them so emotionally engrossing?
Fantastic writing. Just
really?
Excellent.
They're
writing.
Really good with characters, man.
Yep, they make great characters that you feel connected to.
They get you emotionally involved.
Good twists.
They fuck with you
and
hard.
When people die, it matters in those games.
Like it matters. Really?
Yeah.
So y'all have cried in video games.
If I would, I would have done it in these games.
Yeah.
So you're not admitting it.
I have not cried in a video game ever.
You haven't gotten choked up or lump in your throat?
No, but I've been bothered. I've been, like, upset. I have been upset about these
games.
And
they will wait and do it at a point where you don't necessarily know it's coming, and then they'll put you in a spot where you have to choose, where someone is going to die, and you basically have to decide who on your crew it's going to be.
Which of your beloved crewmates.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And at that point, you've spent a lot of time on the ship talking about to them and getting to know them, and so they do a lot of characters, so like the characters feel very real.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And the nice thing about the Mass Effect games is all three of those games told one big story. So if you played all three straight through, you had one overarching story.
And your decisions from the previous game would transfer into your next game.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be loading the same character into the second Mass Effect that you played in the first one.
Oh.
And decisions made in the first one would affect the reality of the second game. Same thing between going to... So you could play one character from Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3, just loading them in every time.
Really? That's a cool idea.
And it was the first game I think I've ever seen that to where you basically played... You know, 10 years of video game and with one giant overarching story.
So what's the whole kind of like in a series of a few sentences, what's this big background story of it? Who are you? What are you playing? Because I've never played it.
You're a character called Commander Shepard,
okay.
Which can be male or female depending on whatever you choose.
Uh-huh.
Essentially, what you have to do is save the universe.
That's
essentially the story. There's like a big, you know, the galactic threat.
They're called Reapers, and what the Reapers basically do is they show up every
millennia,
few millennia or whatever, and they put feelers out there to see what the galactic civilization is like. And once it's reached what the Reapers view as a peak, or they've gone, you know, exceeded the peak, the Reapers come in and basically wipe the slate clean and just. Restart everything.
Wow.
Hard boot.
They come in and and fuck with your shit.
Really?
They give you the blue screen of death.
Yeah, so you as Commander Shepard, you have to go around galaxy, and you're literally going around the universe, going from galaxy to galaxy.
All these planets.
Landing on different planets, recruiting new team members, creating relationships with these people. You can gear up, you can choose different guns, you can choose different armor, all this different... And you can learn to cast basically spells almost, you know, like using magic.
Jedi-ish powers.
And all kinds of fun. It's just fun. And you're saving the galaxy from these Reapers. Basically.
Yeah. And like initially, like you're learning about them because like you pick up a little bit of information. And then it's like a combination of learning about them, convincing the world around you that they actually exist and that they're real. And then getting all these different alien races to fight on your side. And
there's a main storyline and side quests and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's serious.
That sounds like fun. Why haven't I
can't believe you've never played any of those games.
I have never played a Mass Effect.
If you want to play it, you can sign up for EA Access, and it's like $30 a year, and you get the entire like previous like EA library.
Okay.
And you can play all three.
Wow. All right.
It's worth it. Especially Mass Effect 3. I mean, so all three of them are fantastic, but a lot of people, especially newer gamers, are going to be turned off by the graphics in the first two because they're pretty old at this point.
Yeah.
Okay. So... Do you have to play Mass Effect 1 and 2 to play 3, or just can you just go into...
You can play 3, but you would enjoy 3 more had you played 1 and 2.
Okay. Because
the story matters.
It's worth it,
absolutely,
for sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Even if you just kind of blow through, I mean, because it's one of those games where you can just do kind of the main story, and it'll take a lot less time, or you can do all the side stuff, and it'll take way longer. And if you just blew through the first two games just to do the main chunk of the story, and then focused more on exploring the third one, that'd probably be a good way to go.
And have they ever done something like this with a Star Wars game?
Yes. It's called Knights of the Old Republic. Star Wars 1 and 2, and BioWare made those two games, too.
Well, BioWare didn't make the second one.
Oh, that's right. It was...
Obsidian did.
Obsidian.
But it didn't... Not in the same way that Mass Effect, where Mass Effect 2 picks up with your same character. Knights of the Old Republic 2 picked up, like, in the future with some different characters.
Right.
Where you interacted a little bit with the characters from 1, but it wasn't like where, you know, you're right back.
Right.
You know.
It was a little bit different, but it's... I mean, it's a very similar game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Yeah, fantastic game. And, excuse me, BioWare also runs the Knights of the Old Republic massively multiplayer online game right now. That's like World of Warcraft, but Star Wars.
Yeah.
BioWare runs that one.
All right. So BioWare is probably one of the better gaming companies right now.
I absolutely would say so. You know, once EA bought them over, there was some concern about whether or not it'd be a good thing or a bad thing.
It'd be like, okay, every single thing you have to pay for, like every little...
Well, that did happen.
That did happen.
Yeah, they brought in the microtransactions.
They brought in microtransactions big time, but it's not a huge deal. I mean, the games are still fantastic, and they have more money now, and honestly... You know, it's almost every bit as good as it ever was. I think they lost some of their writers, right, when they made the switch.
They eventually the two main dudes that founded it left after three,
right?
But they didn't really like fault EA for it, because EA was like a little bit more involved. But EA basically, they said the thing they ran into with EA was that EA just basically gave them all the money to do anything they ever wanted to do, and so, you know, then it was all of a sudden just like. A little overly ambitious here and there.
But, I mean, Dragon Age 3 was fantastic because Dragon Age 2 was not good.
Okay.
It was terrible.
it was rough.
The first one was amazing. One of my all-time favorite games. The second one was a huge disappointment. And the third one just came in and blew everything up and was even better than the first one.
So. All right. So Mass Effect. I should play this. Everybody should play Mass Effect.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is it online too? Like, or is it just one player only? Or can you do online?
The first two are single player. The third one has a multiplayer aspect to it.
Okay.
Whether or not it's still up and available, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But you don't need... I mean, it's not like the best part of the game.
Yeah. Okay.
So the trailer for this fourth installment, so to speak, what is it? Does it show new worlds in the new characters?
They don't really give you... They show it's sort of like a J.J. Abrams trailer where they show you cool shit, but you really don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Okay.
The extent of the thing you know is that there's this big ship that a bunch of people are on, and they're going to explore some area in space, some like new uncharted whatever, but something happens upon their arrival, and I guess they've crashed or something.
Things go wrong.
Yes. Shit goes down.
All right. Well, that sounds cool, and I guess probably next year, fall next year.
Yeah, I think it was winter. Spring or fall of 2017.
Yeah.
All right, so coming out soon.
The last thing I looked up, it just said first quarter of next year.
Yep.
All right.
So that probably means summer.
That'll be cool. All right, Mass Effect. All right, let's talk about your favorite people, Kevin Hart and Dwayne Johnson. The Rock.
Our favorite person, Dwayne Johnson, and your favorite person, Kevin Hart.
I like both. These two actors are really like at the top of their game right now. I mean,
well, certainly Dwayne Johnson is.
Well, so is Kevin Hart.
I think Kevin Hart's just hitting his stride, honestly. I think he's just getting there.
He's like everywhere. He is doing crazy action movies. He's doing comedy specials. He's in like other comedy movies. He's everywhere.
No doubt.
And now, I guess, Dwayne and Kevin, they made a movie together, and they really like each other, so they're making
Central
more movies
Central Intelligence,
together.
Right? Central Which Intelligence. I still haven't seen. I have to go see that one.
It is good. I'll let you borrow it. I have it.
Okay.
And it was really good, so now they're doing another movie called Jumanji.
And I think that's the start of a series of movies, right? Aren't they doing a trilogy with Jumanji?
Oh, they might be.
I think I read that somewhere.
Kevin Hart, The Rock, and Jack Black.
Yep.
It's like the movie Tropic Thunder.
If only.
So what do you like about Kevin Hart? Let's talk about Kevin Hart first. What do you like about Kevin Hart?
I'm not a huge fan of Kevin Hart.
You don't?
I think he's okay.
All right.
He's just moderately funny to me, though. Really? I mean, I think he's good. He's fine. That's what I'll say about Kevin Hart. He's fine.
he's okay. All right. What about you, Jeremy?
I like him.
I like him too.
I think he's one of those guys that he's funny and he can be funny with other people and play off like, and I'm like, I don't want to compare him to Eddie Murphy, but he kind of reminds me of Eddie Murphy in that you can typically stick Eddie Murphy in with anybody and he can be funny with anyone. Like, you know, he was funny with Will Ferrell and Get Hard. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not one of those dudes that's like, he's totally okay with making fun of how short he is. And yeah,
I think I like that aspect. I think sometimes, since Kevin Hart is everywhere, he's putting out several movies a year, a lot of it seems like the same shtick. Like, there's always going to be a short joke here and there. He always seems like really turned it to 11 type of thing.
Yeah, I always just think of him in 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Oh, yeah, rolling 20s, man. That was like his first thing. And that was a deleted scene, too, which was great, given rolling 20.
Deep cuts on that one.
Yeah, so good. So good. That was like his first thing. I'm glad you brought that up. No, I like Kevin. I think he's great. There's so much of him right now, so it's hard to like... And a lot of it's the same thing. So, yeah. But I will say in Central Intelligence, he's the straight and narrow in this. He is not insane bouncing off the walls. That is the Rock in that movie, which is really fun to see. Cause usually the Rock is like stone cold. Like I'm the cool guy, you know,
you can't, did you say the Rock was stone cold?
Yes. The Rock is stone cold. Hint, hint, wink, wink, please do another match. Rock Stone Cold 4. Yeah, I think Kevin Hart's great, but as far as The Rock, I mean, he started with the Scorpion King, and then he did Be Cool, where he was like, he had like an afro and he was like a gay hairdresser or something like that, and then he just started doing like he literally in the movie.
Well, before he did Be Cool, didn't he do Walking Tall?
No, he did Rundown. The Rundown was
the Rundown. The Rundown was really his first like kind of big movie,
and that was so great.
I don't count this. I mean, The Scorpion King is his first movie,
yeah,
but The Rundown is really his first movie.
So if you remember in The Rundown, that first scene in the club, Dwayne Johnson is walking into the club, and who walks by him? Arnold Schwarzenegger. And what does Arnold Schwarzenegger say to him?
He says, "Have fun in there.
Have fun in there." That was the literal passing of the torch.
Yep.
And then you got a lot of Arnold Schwarzenegger-esque movies like Walking Tall, which, I mean, Arnold wasn't in, but he did all these crazy action movies, you know.
He is the new Arnold Schwarzenegger. He that's is. Really what and he I is. Think and that's he why is, he's so awesome.
And I think he is more charismatic and fun than Arnold was back Ooh. Then.
Get the fuck out of here.
I really
I'm
going to
pull the plug on this whole podcast.
What? Say what you will.
This table.
I'm going to tear up all these microphones.
I really do. I mean, I like Arnold a lot. I think Rock has a more charismatic charm than he did.
I don't know. You could argue that you wouldn't have The Rock if you didn't have Arnold.
No, probably true.
Yeah, I mean, Arnold was... Can you...
Now you know how I feel when I talk to you about everything.
Bill Murray.
Yeah. Now you know, sir.
Yeah, I mean, know. I love both of them. They're both fantastic. That's what I'm going to say.
No, tell me why you disagree with me.
Watch True Lies again.
I love True Lies. I think Brock could have probably done that better.
Oh, come on.
Because in reality, there's only been, like, Schwarzenegger doesn't give great performances. He's not a great
actor.
He's
great at being Schwarzenegger.
He was good in The Terminator, because, like, literally, he literally has to play a robot. He can't have any emotion.
You're acting like Terminator was the only movie he was
Twins
good in.
He was great in. Twins, he was so good, because that was so out of the norm for him.
Yes.
He didn't know what anything was. He's like,
such a fantastic
I love
movie.
Nuked food. You know, that's so funny. That was my Arnold Schwarzenegger impression.
Sounded more like Andre the Giant. Yeah,
anybody want a peanut? Who was that, Arnold or Andre? No, I mean, I do like Arnold a lot. I mean, I'm the first to say it, but I really think that if you replace The Rock in any Arnold movie, it'll be better.
So what you're saying is you want True Lies remade with The Rock and Kevin Hart as Tom Arnold.
Yes.
Segue right there.
That's our first Kevin and Dwayne movie.
Kevin Hart. So do you have Kevin Hart play the bad guy, or do you have Kevin Hart play the Tom Arnold
Tom
character?
Arnold, definitely. I can see him doing that whole hiding behind the lampshade thing, yeah. Like checking himself for bullets, just like that.
Sitting in the van trying to tell The Rock what to do.
Exactly.
It writes itself. It's so good.
And Bill Paxton can still be Bill Paxton.
Yeah.
No, it should be replaced with like Chris Tucker or something like that. Chris Tucker is Bill Paxton's character.
I still think Bill Paxton should be Bill Paxton.
I agree.
Perfect.
There are some things you can't fuck with, and that's Bill Paxton.
Maybe we can replace Schwarzenegger with The Rock, but you cannot replace Bill Paxton.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, no, that would be great. No, I think that... Why haven't they done that yet? That's what we're here to talk about.
I want to know why you can't get a fucking copy of True Lies on Blu-ray. That's what I want to know.
It's right the same now. Reason you can't get a copy of The Abyss on Blu-ray, both James Cameron movies.
Oh, okay. And he won't do it for some reason.
He hasn't done it yet. Just haven't done it. He's too busy making his dumbass Avatar sequels. Yeah.
Mad about it. It's like True Lies.
Like, why does he need, like, he's not making the fucking Blu-rays himself.
All he has to do is give someone a thumbs up. Like, yeah, okay, do it.
All he's got to do is be like, give me the money.
Yeah.
Go get your
I want The Abyss more than True. I love True Lies. Like, that's what I wish. He would do a True Lies 2 rather than Avatar. But Abyss, man, The Abyss is like a classic movie. It is so good. And I can't believe the last time it was ever on home video was DVD more than 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, and that's an excellent movie. And as True Lies is, you have a young Eliza Dushku. You have the best duo almost ever. And Arnold and Tom Arnold.
Yeah. Arnold Schwarzenegger and Tom Arnold. Okay,
Arnold, Tom Arnold.
And Jamie Lee Curtis being awesome
she
in that
movie.
She was
very sexy in that movie. She played that
not
part
just sexy, but awesome. I mean, she was sexy, especially in the second half of the movie.
Yeah.
In the first half, she was just funny.
She was really good. And Tia Carrera was in that movie.
Yes.
It's like her last film credit ever.
Wayne's World 2 and True Lies.
Was Wayne's World 1 and 2?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
She was in both.
She was. Wasn't it Rob Lowe that was just in
Part 1?
Part 1?
Yes. You get Tia Carrera and Rob Lowe confused all the time. Same person.
So close.
So, yeah, I do think that Kevin and Dwayne, or The Rock, however you want to call them, they do have a good chemistry. And once you see Central Intelligence, you'll really realize that. They really play off each other very well. I just hope that they don't keep doing the same shtick over and over again.
Right.
So, what kind of movie would you want to see them in?
The first thing I want to see them in after Kevin and Dwayne go to the mall is Kevin and Dwayne versus Dracula. I think we just need like an Abbott and Costello.
Oh, God.
How they, it was like Abbott and Costello Remake? Meet the Mummy and all these yes. movies. Just do that with Kevin and Dwayne.
So all the Abbott and Costello movies, but Kevin and Dwayne.
Kevin and Dwayne meet the Mummy. Oh, Kevin and Dwayne versus Dracula.
That would be amazing.
I think let's do it.
I feel like that would be, wow, yes. We're gonna tweet and Facebook Kevin and Dwayne and like,
Mr. Johnson, please listen to this.
Why haven't you done Abbott and Costello yet? Because, I mean, The Rock has tons of projects on the horizon. He's remaking himself and going to star in Big Trouble in Little China reboot. He's got the Rampage movie, which is based off the game with all the monsters destroying the city. Like, he has tons of, or the sequel to the Earthquake movie, what is it called?
San Andreas, which was awesome. I love that movie, too.
It was excellent for a dumbass, silly action movie.
It was so much fun, though. I loved it.
I gave it a highly recommended.
Good. Yep.
I absolutely
did. Obviously, it's not like going to be a rehashing of the exact same thing, but the same idea as the Abbott and Costello movies.
Oh, that would be so much fun.
It would be.
Like them in horror movies. Okay, Jeremy, what do you think?
I want the rundown, too, but I want it to be The Rock plays the same character, but I want Kevin Hart hunting down the bounty hunter hunting down The Rock. Because at the end of the first one, he like brings
Christopher Walken,
Sean William Scott back. Christopher Walken.
He brings Sean William Scott back, and instead of turning them in, he lets them go. So you could theorize that now people are still looking for The Rock's character from that movie.
Oh yeah, because he did
give the magic hallucination jungle fruit.
Yeah.
So then you have Kevin Hart hunting him down, and that's what I would like.
The rundown too. I mean, that rundown one was so good.
Oh
that
yeah.
Perfectly made and just.
Anytime I make jungle sounds now, I'm just doing an impression of Sean William Scott in that movie. Come on! Tookie tookie!
There's a little thunder, a little lightning. Choo choo. Oh, that was so good. Kevin Hart and Dwayne Johnson. I'm going to have to go Twins. I want to see a remake of Twins.
Of Twins with the two of them?
With the two of them. So badly. I mean, it's really hard to replace Danny DeVito. Oh, God. No matter what it is. He's like one of my favorite actors of all time. But to see the Kevin Hart, like, they're really from the same mother would be so funny to see them go around and see like The Rock play like an idiot like Arnold played in there like, oh God, this is so amazing.
I love love that idea. And, that's so funny.
And like Kevin Hart singing like, "Tonight is your night, bro." And them dancing together. I feel like that would be a great remake. They are making a sequel to Twins with Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's called Triplets.
Okay.
And they have a third brother that they didn't know. And that third brother was played by Eddie Murphy.
Really?
Yes, that is happening.
How did I not know? Did you know about this, Jeremy?
I didn't know about this.
That is definitely
wondering if he's just made all this up.
You can go look it up. It is definitely happening.
It's on the same page as the Mace Windu theory.
Yeah. It's not a true story. No, that is happening. So I feel like if they reboot it, they could definitely use The Rock and Kevin Hart.
I think that's a fantastic idea.
But I like all of our ideas. I do. I really want a rundown, too.
Yeah, me too.
That would be so good. Who would be the villain in that? Because you have Christopher Walken, which is awesome.
Give it to Mads Mikkelsen. He does a great job.
Mads Mikkelsen?
Yeah, Mads Mikkelsen.
That would be cool. What about Channing Tatum?
As long as we get to see The Rock kicking his ass, I'm okay with that.
All right. And remind me, what was your... Oh, was it True Lies that you wanted to see? What was yours? No, after Go...
His was the Abbott and Costello.
Abbott
and
Costello. Yeah.
The True Lies thing was a group joke.
That was a group joke.
Abbott and Costello is the style of movies for Kevin and Dwayne.
I just think they should remake Abbott and Costello and have The Rock and Kevin Hart. Holy God.
Meeting the Mummy, Frankenstein, Dracula, all of it.
Oh, that would be so good. I really want that now.
Me too. I'm telling you, it'd be fantastic.
So do you think like these two guys? Do you think their popularity will last? I think Kevin Hart's maybe won't. I think at some point Kevin Hart's going to go dramatic.
I think that depends on what they. I think that Dwayne Johnson set himself up so he's going to be a major player in Hollywood for a long time now.
Yeah, no, he definitely. I'm not worried about The Rock at all.
And I think with Kevin Hart, it depends on what he's going to do with his career. If he chooses to continue making the right kind of movies with the right people, then yeah, he could just get more famous from here. If he pulls an Eddie Murphy, he could tank out really hard, really fast.
Yeah, hopefully he does a dramatic role. Because I think he could do it. Because I think a lot of comedians could do dramatic.
Maybe, movies. But a lot of them do that and then it gets really not fun at that point.
Well, because then that's all they do.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Tom Hanks, comedic actor, and then hasn't done a comedy movie since Turner and Hooch.
So sad.
It is so sad.
Steve Martin also.
Yep.
Steve Martin kind of went back a little bit with the Pink Panther. But yeah, he's doing his music thing too, so it's difficult. Like I wish he would go straight back to those original 80s and 90s comedies that he used to do, but it's difficult. And I don't know.
Want a Three Amigos too.
Get the Gamal three. Yeah.
We could do a Three Amigos movie with Kevin and Dwayne. Who would be the third amigo?
Oh my goodness, that would be really
Will
good.
Will Ferrell?
That would be great. Who would be Lucky? Who would be Ned? And who would be Dusty?
All right, so Lucky would have to be The Rock.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Ned is Kevin Hart.
Ned is definitely.
You want a little sissy gun like this? You want to die with a man's gun?
A little sissy gun like this. And I guess Will Ferrell would be Dusty. Do you guys have anything besides Mexican food? That line still cracks me up.
Kissing you under the veranda on the lips would be fine.
I feel like,
honestly, I'd be fine with Vince Vaughn as...
I wouldn't want Vince Vaughn in that role at all.
I think he could be perfectly funny as Chevy Chase's character in that.
I think I would really like Will Ferrell better in that. He's more likable.
Or Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd. He's absolutely. I say yes to him any day of the week. Three Amigos. God, what other movies can we cast them in? They fit everything so well.
Ooh, we could do an X-Files remake with Kevin and Dwayne as Mulder and Scully.
Tango and Cash. Holy God.
There you go.
Tango and Cash would be. I mean, they basically did that with Central Intelligence, but
Demolition Man.
Demolition Man, really? Could you really, really believe Kevin Hart as Simon Phoenix?
No, it's the other way around. You got it backwards. You're fucking it up.
Oh my goodness. What restaurant is the restaurant of all restaurants? Because Taco Bell was.
It's probably still Taco Bell.
It's still Taco Bell. Yeah. Oh, God.
That's the one thing you can't change.
Schindler's List. Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
Have The Rock play Eamon Go with the hardcore Nazi and Kevin Hart as Schindler. No?
Okay.
Too soon?
No, nah, it's just okay.
No.
I don't see it happening.
You're reaching on that one.
Yeah.
Why? Why is that so bad? I thought that was a great idea.
Nope.
You win some and you lose some.
Yeah.
It's all right. You win some, you lose some. What other good ones are there that we haven't mentioned?
I'm spent.
You're spent.
I have no more ideas right now.
Yeah. The joke has run its course.
No, it's
we'll save up some more for next time.
All right, we'll save up more
for continuation of the Dwayne and Wade segment.
All right, what other? That's the only like three things I really had on the list today. What else do you
got? We got a little the Spider-Man news.
Oh yeah, Spider-Man news. So, Birdman, Batman, and Beetlejuice are now is now going to join the Spider-Man universe as another bird. Is Vulture. Michael Keaton is going to play Vulture. It's been rumored for a while that he was going to be in it, and we all thought it was going to be Vulture, and now it is confirmed that in the next Spider-Man movie, Vulture will happen. So, you being the comic book guy, who is Vulture? What's his powers? Because, I mean, when people hear Vulture, like, okay, is he just going to, you know, peck somebody to death? Like, what's his...
You know, he basically has the wingsuit, and... There's a lot of history with the character, so it depends on kind of what avenue they're going to take. They jokingly showed Vulture wings in the last Amazing Spider-Man movie.
Yes.
I think a cut where you just kind of saw him in the background of like of Osborn or whatever.
Yes.
But from what I remember, he's the actual first Spider-Man villain. And so they're going hardcore old school with Teenage Spider-Man and the stuff from back in the 60s in terms of what you're going to see. But I don't know if they're going to show him where... You know, in the cartoons and some of the comics, from what I remember, you know, there was a thing where he was using the suit to, like, steal, you know, kind of life from people to prolong his own life. So it's, I'm not really sure how they're going to set it up in terms of bringing it into the modern era with Vulture. But I'm pretty excited.
Who is Vulture? Like, who is, how does he turn bad? How does he...
I don't really know. They didn't really have a lot of that stuff back in the day.
Okay.
In the 60s, you just had bad guys that were bad guys just to be bad guys.
All right.
But I think it's going to be cool because you have Michael Keaton, you know, playing a villain again.
Michael Keaton in a comic book movie.
Yeah.
Again.
And he's, you know, because, I mean, he was awesome in, there were a couple movies he was villains in, like Pacific Heights,
which he was
and
excellent.
Desperate Measures.
In Desperate Measures,
he played a bad guy in both of those and it was awesome.
No, he is one of my favorite actors.
So I hope they kind of really let him go kind of dark, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, it's funny because, like, the movie Birdman, he is kind of like a Vulture-esque character, you know? When he thinks about him, but it's pretty cool. And then Batman in another superhero movie. It's really cool.
Yeah.
I'm glad to see him back there, and hopefully we'll see that trailer soon because Spider-Man was so awesome in Captain America Civil War.
Yeah.
I think he should roll up to the first day of shooting in a fucking Batmobile.
That would be so good.
That's what I would do.
I just hope like somebody like dresses as Batman, jumps on screen or something like that as an outtake, and that's on like the Blu-ray or something like that.
If I was him, I would jump out in the bat suit.
Dude, that would be so
just to fuck with everybody.
That would be cool. He'd probably have a better chance at him doing the Beetlejuice because I know he's doing Beetlejuice too. So, and he's been wanting to do that forever. So, my God,
is Tim Burton directing that one too?
I don't know if Tim Burton, because I thought he was, and then he dropped out. But I do know, like, Catherine O'Hara and Winona Ryder and Michael Keaton are coming back for it.
I just saw Beetlejuice for the first time ever, like, a week ago.
Oh, holy shit. And?
It was all right.
Ugh, God.
I think it's got to be such a nostalgic movie. You know, I think that
it's a little timeless movie, too, I thought.
I mean, it wasn't bad. I feel like it was just Tim Burton kind of getting his vibe down. Like, I feel like
was like one of his first movies.
Exactly. And I feel like, you know, it was so clearly pre-Edward Scissorhands and all that stuff. But I way prefer Edward Scissorhands.
See, I
Edward
prefer Scissorhands Beetlejuice.
Is a much better movie.
I prefer Beetlejuice, but I think if you're going to love Beetlejuice, you probably had to see it when it came out because it's one of those things there once you start getting away from when it came out, the haircuts... And the clothes, everything gets very dated very quickly.
Yeah, it wasn't just it was dated, like it was just town. Slow. It was just slow.
I didn't think it was slow, though. It was just like, it was so, like, almost fantastical and, like, these crazy characters and just...
I mean, it was cool, don't get me wrong. It was just not... I was expecting to really like it, And I just was like, it was cool. You know, it was all right.
The score was excellent.
The score was excellent, but it's Danny.
And so I've always said that I thought Michael Keaton deserved an Oscar for Beetlejuice. He was so good in that role.
He was excellent in that role, no doubt. But I think Winona Ryder was awesome, too.
She was good.
Yeah.
Everybody was good. So the guy, the dad of Winona Ryder in that movie, Jeffrey Jones, who's also in Howard the Duck, the original movie, he is a known pedophile. Convicted pedophile. That's why he's not really in anything anymore.
Gotcha.
So I don't think he'll be returning to it.
Probably not.
Probably not. Yeah, that's a downer. Let's end the show on an upper.
There's some other comic book news that got announced recently.
What was that?
So with the X-Men movies, it has been revealed that with X-Men Apocalypse, your four main characters, played by McAvoy, Fassbender, Jennifer Lawrence, and who's the dude that plays Beast?
Oh, Nicholas Holt.
Nicholas Holt. And also Bryan Singer, all of their contracts with Fox for X-Men movies are up.
When?
With X-Men Apocalypse.
Oh, okay.
So either what's going to happen is they either have Fox has to agree to re-sign all of them or completely reboot X-Men.
And why I don't want that.
God, again? Ugh. It's just going to be like the never-ending loop like Spider-Man.
Well, they didn't... Technically, they didn't reboot X-Men in a way. They went back early before.
They fancy rebooted it.
But they, I mean, it's still kind of the same. I mean, Patrick Stewart showed up and...
It was a fancy reboot.
It was a very creative reboot.
Yeah. It was, but like now we're like, okay, so we've seen this story again. Why would we do that? Just give it to Marvel.
Yeah, just...
Literally.
Oh, they'll never do that.
Like Fox is like, okay, here we go. We want $500 million up front, and then we want X amount of every movie. It's like, let's work together. Holy God. Holy shit. I bet you if that happened...
It wouldn't be a work together. It would be like Marvel's be like, we're going to do all this and you're just going to shut the fuck up and take the money.
Perfect. Why yeah. did that... You're getting money that's kind, for not that's doing
kind of,
anything.
That's kind of the Sony deal.
Yeah.
Is you're going to shut the fuck up and take half of the Spider-Man money.
You know what? I like the Spider-Man movies. Like all... Well, Spider-Man 3 I didn't like, but Spider-Man 1 and 2, like the first ones, those were so good with Tobey Maguire. Especially part 2 with Doc Ock was... Excellent. And then Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2 with Andrew Garfield, I really like too.
I did not like either of the Amazing Spider-Man movies.
Oh, see, I did.
And I always was lukewarm on this. I mean, the Spider-Man movies with Tobey Maguire were always just like, you know, it was just okay.
See, I really like them. But when I saw Tom Holland play Spider-Man in Captain America Civil War, man, he's the one to play it.
He is. He was fantastic. So on a totally different level than every Spider-Man we've ever seen.
Yeah, I can't wait for the next one.
Me.
Or the first one, at least, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I don't want another X-Men reboot. And I mean, oh God, that would be terrible. It would be terrible.
It would be a major bummer. Because I think we're all just tired at the same point. At the point now where we're tired of seeing the same stories rehashed and rehashed and rehashed. We're tired of seeing Batman's parents get killed. We're tired of seeing, you know, all these things happen.
Well, the benefit, though, with an X-Men reboot is there's not really like an origin. Like they're not, you know, no one's crashing from Krypton or getting bit by a radioactive spider. They're just born this way. So you don't really have to have like, you don't have to sit there and watch, you know, Tony Stark build a suit or anything That's like that true. In a cave.
So it could be okay as long as they don't have to spend too much time. I think they should just treat it like, hey, here's this character. You already know who he is. He's going to go fight some people now.
Which is nice, which is what they're going to be doing with Spider-Man. Like, you're not going to see the radioactive spider bite and all that shit.
Thank goodness.
Because even Kevin Feige's like, I don't want to fucking watch that again. Everyone knows.
So, yeah. All right. So, good. Any other comic book news?
Not that I could think of.
Was it? All right. Well, that's our show. We just an hour.
Perfect.
It was perfect. Thanks for listening. We are Mediocrity. Jeremy Magert at... Jeremy Magert Art on Facebook and Twitter, right? And Jonathan Atterbury at newamericanfitness.net. I'm Brian Kluger. You can find me at boomstickcomics.com. And you can find this podcast, Multimedia Men, on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Just subscribe to us.
Just do it.
We'll send you a note. A love note. Thanks for listening.